Friday. It is time for the Fifth Estate. My name is Jay Caruso. I'm here with Neil Doing. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great, Jay. Doing great. We're going to do a little bit of a different thing.
Yeah, no guests tonight. No guests.
No guests, and we're going to keep it to maybe 30 minutes tops. Just do a little mini episode. You know, here's the thing. It's our podcast. We can do whatever we want with it, and we're going to try it out.
Yes, so, indeed.
Basically, we can just talk about whatever we want because we don't have a guest to entertain. So I guess it comes down to who did the most interesting thing last week. And I think, Jay, you win because my life is unending drudgery. But you, sir, you went to
Red State Gathering. Actually, I went to two different things. I went to a Franklin Center School Choice conference as well.
Well, aren't you just the jet setter?
I know, aren't I? But that allowed me to go. What was fun about that is it allowed me to get there a day early on Wednesday. My son went with me. We went up to Rocky Mountain National Park and spent the day. We spent about 4 hours there. Mm-hmm. We were up at 3 o'clock in the morning. So by noon, Denver time, which was like 2 o'clock in body time, since we were still on that schedule, we were both just like, okay, we've seen enough. We got some good pictures. Let's go.
Let me ask, did you experience any altitude sickness?
No, but it's funny. Every day at the end of the day, obviously I was drinking too, so that didn't help. But, a little bit of a headache from the lighter air. So,
interesting. Yeah. Interesting. Yeah. So avoid Colorado at all costs if you enjoy drinking alcohol. Yeah. That's the message I'm hearing.
Well, of course, it's funny too. You're in Colorado and people are like, oh, yeah, give me some Coors Light. Coors. And it's like, ew, whatever.
It's okay.
Nah, it's all right. Had the Red State Gathering too.
Yeah, well, just for our listeners who may not be familiar, I mean, people might have heard of CPAC, or they might have heard of this or that other conference. Maybe not, since I haven't heard of any of them. But Red State Gathering, what is it?
There's CPAC, which is very big. There's also Americans for Prosperity has their Defending the Dream, which is also kind of a big conference. Red State, they call it the Gathering because it's really not very big. It's a few hundred people as opposed to thousands.
A bit more intimate.
Yeah, a bit more intimate. The entire thing is held in like one big like ballroom. So every speaker, every panel, everything is right there. Rather than everybody sitting in rows, there's a bunch of tables set up so people can kind of sit around tables. They can have their computers out. We eat and everything while we're watching speakers and stuff like that. So it's a much more intimate setting. The vendors are all right outside. Everything's like right within this, this same geographic area. So you're not
because
CPAC is, that Gaylord Hotel is gigantic.
It is.
And it's like, oh, you want to go see this vendor down on the bottom floor. And you're up, all the way in the back where they just had a smaller, and it takes you like a half hour to get over there. It's like ridiculous.
Yeah, well, especially because they have that bottleneck where Radio Row is.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that was fun when presidential candidates showed up to speak and the Secret Service was like, oh, we're going to send you all through scanners. And then we're not going to let you inside until, a certain amount of time. So you have, it was like we were all herded animals in this one area, like trying to get in the door. But anyway.
Yeah, to hell with CPAC.
Yeah, to hell with
them.
Let's talk about Red State. Red State was, it's funny. The first one I went to was in 2014. And I was there a little bit last year, the one that was in Atlanta, because I live in Atlanta. So it was easy to go stop by and see people. Much more optimistic tone the last 2 years. This one a little bit more subdued. I think there were some Trump supporters there. In fact, at one point, Leon, because there was a speaker who couldn't make it, Leon said, hey, we're going to open up the floor to questions for about anything.
And, Leon.
And I said, here it comes. And sure enough, it was the first guy saying, hey, when is Red State and the Blaze gonna finally get behind Donald Trump to defeat Hillary Clinton? Leon gave a very good answer. He's respectful. It wasn't condescending or anything like that. But he basically made his position clear, and so everyone was welcome there. So it was while there was some Trump supporters there, I think they were outnumbered by probably people who don't want to support Trump. But overall, it was. There was nothing nasty that was said to anybody or about anybody or anything like that.
Well, that's good. That's good. And, you know, that's encouraging that, you know, nobody resorted to fisticuffs.
Right.
So,
right.
So you had a role in the actual gathering, didn't you?
I did. It was funny. I did a couple of things that were, one was completely unexpected. I had Leon come up to me and say, "Hey, do you want to interview, Daryl Glenn, who's running for Senate in Colorado, a Republican?" And I said, "When?" And he said, "Right now."
Right now.
I think Caleb was supposed to do it, but Caleb had just gotten in. He was having issues with Delta, so Caleb Howe, that is. And I was like, "Oh, yeah, okay." So it was Facebook that was doing this.
Did you know who this gentleman was?
I know who he was. I didn't know anything about him. I just heard his name, and I knew that he was running, but I hadn't had a chance before then to actually look up anything about him or anything like that.
I'm envisioning this like the Chris Farley show from SNL.
Yeah. I went into this thing cold, you know? And, now the funniest thing was that Facebook was doing this. Okay. Facebook was actually shooting the video and recording it and stuff like that.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And so they had an iPad on the little table in front of me. And so they were like, "Oh, well, you can ask your own questions, or, you know, if you see, you know," they put up a post saying they're going to be interviewing Daryl Glenn. So if you look here, there's like, you can scroll here and there's questions from the comments and people and things like that. Well, so, that part of it wasn't going to work. See, part of the issue is that Daryl Glenn has kind of like endorsed Donald Trump. You know, basically said he's good with Donald Trump. So Red State's audience has largely become part of the Never Trump movement overall, in a sense. I mean, there's some detractors there, but, you know, they're kind of like in alignment with the writers. Well, a lot of the questions weren't very nice questions for Mr. Glenn. And, you know, I was looking through them, and one of them said, you know, "What are you going to do when you lose in November?" it was, "Why the hell are you supporting Trump, you idiot?" You know, what? Finally, I found one that was related to FDA overreach on vaping and e-cigarettes. And so I got to ask that one. And then I just kind of like, I left it. And basically what I said was I kind of relied on, I said, doing a podcast with Neil and others for over 3 years now has kind of helped me like wing it when I need to. And it actually went very well.
Really?
Yes, it did.
Wow.
By the time we got done, his people were very impressed. Facebook person was happy. The town hall person was happy. It was all great.
Very cool. Very cool. Well, you know, that's wonderful to learn that this podcast has actually imparted some real life skills.
Well, yeah. And then the other thing was I had to do a panel discussion about primaries and whether or not to be reformed. And I had to go up, I had to sit there on stage with Larry O'Connor, who's a seasoned radio talk show host, and Steve Dace, who is another seasoned radio talk show host, and kind of engage in this back and forth about primaries and everything. And if they should be reformed. Then I actually did very well there. The biggest applause line I got was when, you know, I'm an advocate. All three of us agreed that, you know, primaries, one of the biggest things is they should all be closed. That if you are going to, if you want to choose the Republican nominee for president, then you should be registered as a Republican. Otherwise, you sit it out. Simple as that. And so that happened, and that was fun. You know, of course, seeing people, I mean, let's face it, we go to these things, we want to hang out with our friends, you know? And so I got to meet some people for the first time and then seen some other people, you know. So Andrea Ruth was there, got to hang out with her.
Oh, Andrea.
Yeah. And then Jordan E. Karma is the first time I got to meet her. Brent Cochran. Kyle Foley. We know Kyle. Kyle, I only got to see at CPAC for like 10 seconds. It was when they were herding the cattle, and he kind of walked past me and said hello. And yeah, right.
Just kidding. Love you, Kyle.
Yeah.
Got
to meet Bruce, Carol, and John Ciccone. You know, we kind of people raise money to help them get there. And that was fun. So, you know, we and then the others that I've seen, you know, everywhere else, you know, just the usual people, pretty much, you know, they're all there, Laura Fio and Matt Vespa and all those guys. And
for those of our listeners who may not necessarily be plugged into this scene, you know, there are regular conferences yearly. There are several throughout the year, various organizations will host them. And some of your favorite writers are often invited to attend, and they go, and everybody, you know, shares knowledge and mingles and all this sorts of thing, you know, and helps to kind of articulate conservative responses to issues of the day or ongoing policy challenges. And so it's quite a useful thing to do. And, you know, this may surprise you, but writers like to drink. And a lot of that goes on at these conferences. So yeah. What were you drinking at Red State there, Jay?
Well, believe it or not, I like beer. And so Colorado is a very, you know, despite the whole Coors thing, there's a mm-hmm. lot of local breweries, you know, small breweries and stuff. And there was a, we went to a place, there were a couple of places, a place called Henry's that we went to that was really good. And then there was another one that we went to called Rock Bottom Brewery. I think it's kind of a chain. I think they've got them in several cities, but they brew the beer that they have right there on the premises. And so it's quite inexpensive. So you can get like a, 25 ounce IPA for like $6, you know.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, it's...
That's a lot of beer.
That is a lot of beer, you know.
Personally, I stick to liquors, you know, as a matter of like capacity. I can't take that much beer.
Yeah. So no, I'm a beer fan, so I had that. If there was anything, there were these receptions you had to go to, and basically they just had like beer, wine, and then like your basic cocktail. Mm-hmm. You know, so I'd have like a screwdriver or something like that, because that's, you know, it was either that or like a Bloody Mary or rum and coke, that kind of thing.
Yeah. Well, I mean, because I asked because I know you're kind of a Scotch guy. You enjoy a little Johnny Walker Black from time to time.
Yeah. No, I would have liked that, but I didn't have any with me. So.
You always have to pack some and.
I know, and I just got a new bottle of Woodford Reserve. Like a friend of mine had gotten me that for my birthday, which was great. So, but I didn't bring it.
Well,
next time. Yeah, I have to come prepared like Neil. Neil has like flasks like all over his body, hidden.
Yes, the maximum. He's like a Secret Service agent. I think 7. I was at a dry wedding, lovely young couple to whom I'm related, and it was a dry wedding, and I tried to respect their wishes by hiding my rampant, reckless consumption of alcohol. They did, in fact, seat me next to the pastor, so that was an extra challenge. But I persevered.
Well, you have. It's funny. Speaking of, you have a friend of yours that's a priest, isn't it? That you hang out with from time to time.
I have a couple. Yeah.
Yeah.
A couple friends who are
and they
priests.
Partake and.
I'll tell you what. If you think you're a drinking man and you think you can hang with the best of them, just go and get into a drinking contest with your average Catholic priest. see how far you get.
I remember that one time. I don't know if it was before you quit Twitter, but I remember you said you tweeted or put it on Facebook, man, I just went out with so and so and I'm drunk. I can't keep up with him.
It's horrible because, you know, because they're priests, you know, they get this little sanctimonious expression on their face because they're like stone cold sober and you're, you know, half in the bag.
Yeah.
And they're sitting here like, you're not going to last very much longer, are you? Oh, God bless you, my child. You know, father.
That's terrible.
Buddy. Anyway, but no, it's fun. It's all good fun. So.
Yeah. But Red State was fun. I'm glad, you know, I'm glad they held it in a city where it wasn't like 128 degrees.
Well, especially, yeah, this past week, the heat wave everywhere. But
it was brutal.
Yeah, it would have been murder in Atlanta.
Oh, terrible. Even worse, though, it's funny, in D.C. it was like 97 degrees like that. But
sure, but those people deserve it.
Yeah, I think they're going back to Texas, though, next year.
Mm, okay.
So back to Fort Worth. Fort Worth, a nice town. I really enjoyed it, but, man, it's just so hot. Mm-hmm. Yeah, walking through there. And, of course, Laura's like, oh, it's nice. Yeah. Laura Fio, it's nice out.
So. Of course. Well, so, I mean, that's one of the cool things I think about Red State Gathering, I think, is that these writers on the front page are very accessible.
Yes.
Isn't that right?
Yes, we are.
They did meet and greets and everything.
Yep. Yep. I actually had a few people come up to me and say, oh, I enjoy what you write about this and that. And I'm like, oh, that's nice. It really is. I mean, I'm not, you know, it is. It's nice to be recognized for something that you do.
Something positive.
Yeah, exactly. And I got to meet a few people I haven't met before. Jay Koss from the Weekly Standard, got to say hello to him.
Oh yeah,
which is cool. Mm-hmm. I like Jay. And Ben Sass spoke the Saturday night.
Oh,
which was good.
How do you do?
He did great. Yeah, and this was just a little kind of. This was the. This wasn't in the ballroom. This was actually at a reception. Sunset reception that we were all at, and he came up and spoke for about 10 minutes and then took some questions, and it was very, you know, I know I saw photos, so he was doing photos with people as well, so really good. And Carly Fiorina was there, and she was terrific. So there was some stuff that, you know, I didn't agree with everything, but I think the whole thing just went very well. You know, cause, and for people that don't know, this is the first year where Eric Erickson was not part of Red State. You know, so now he's doing the resurgence. So he wasn't actually the master of ceremonies, that kind of thing. It was it was Leon who kind of did all that, and the writers got to do a lot of introductions and the Facebook interviews and all that kind of stuff. So there was a lot of involvement with a cross section of the Town Hall family. You know, mm-hmm. Ed Morrissey is there too, and Katie Pavlik and Guy Benson and everything. So, but it was good. It was good. Like I said, I like the fact that it was a little subdued. I think it was, you know, a lot of kind of talk about, you know, what's going to happen, you know, next. So we'll see.
Be nice to have a subdued conversation about politics.
Yeah,
for a change.
It really was. It was, you know, because everybody I think sees writing on the wall and knows. Okay,
not everybody. The less said about them, the better.
Yeah, well, at least today they finally, you know, the website that bears Andrew Breitbart's name and the guy who runs it have finally made it official that they're an arm of the Trump campaign.
Yeah, yeah, that's kind of, it's not surprising, but it also is surprising in a way.
Yeah.
That they'd be so upfront about it.
Right. Well, I wrote a piece today that said, you know, if you look at what's happened, who he's brought on, Trump has brought on Roger Ailes and now Steve Bannon. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's looking like, and there's been all these rumors the last 6 to 9 months about Donald Trump saying he wanted to start his own television station after the election.
Can you believe that?
And you know whose contract expires at the end of this year?
Sarah Palin.
Nope.
Or who?
Sean Hannity.
Oh, Hannity. Yeah. How utterly depressing this has been.
It is. So we can move on.
We ought to.
Yes.
We ought to. So
right.
One of the things we're doing with these little mini-sodes, or however we want to call it, I'm still not wild about that word, but maybe we'll figure out a better one, is we take listener questions.
We did.
We asked our listeners to submit them via the contact form on our website. We actually got some. Wonder of wonders. People were interested.
And so. You know what? And the other thing I have to do here very quickly before we get to those is apologize. I know there's probably people listening to the podcast that sent emails for the last couple of months. And you know, there was an email form and it was supposed to send the emails to both Neil and I. Well, they weren't. And they were getting trapped in a repository on our website in a feedback section that I didn't happen to notice until yesterday. And so there were people who sent in really nice complimentary emails going back to the beginning of May when we started this thing. And they probably thought, what a bunch of stuck up jerks never even responded to us or said anything.
If you stuck with us, we're very appreciative.
Yes.
We read your comments. We took them to heart.
And if you want to use the email form now, it's working properly, so go ahead. And now you can even send it to us and say, oh, it's about time you paid attention to me, you idiots.
We encourage everybody, if you disagree with us, if you have some criticism, hopefully constructive criticism to share, we'd love to hear that as well, because it will help us to improve.
Indeed. All right, so on to the question. Do you have anyone that stuck out that you wanted to share first?
Well, let's see. I got a nice compliment from our friend Bree Payton at The Federalist, who said that Neil's eyebrow game is on point, which I know, and I still appreciate the acknowledgement. But she also asked, what are our favorite pasta dishes? Jay?
Yeah, it's funny. As an Italian, I've eaten lots of pasta, and if you've seen me, you probably could tell that too. You know, for the most part, you know, as Italian, you're usually eating just regular pasta with tomato sauce. But I have to say that one of my favorite pasta dishes, and I don't get to have it too often, is fettuccine Alfredo. And with like blackened chicken on it, I think it's fantastic. And it's, I don't have it that often because not a lot of places make it very well. It's usually at a place, you go to a place, it's kind of a little bit overcooked, and then it's kind of sticky and it's not creamy. And you're just kind of like, all right. And you're picking up these big blobs of like fettuccine that are all stuck together.
Yeah.
You know, to be made right, the noodles have to be like moving, you know, when you're picking them up. And, you know, if you have to slurp, you have to slurp. I'm not chewing on bread. But when it's made right, it is excellent. And so, yeah, fettuccine Alfredo.
I like orzo as a pasta.
Okay.
As a pasta style. My wife, Rachel, makes this really great dish with like chicken meatballs, just ground up chicken, and you form it into a ball and you cook it in a broth, and it's got orzo in it, and there's like spinach and all sorts of other stuff in there. You throw some Parmesan cheese in there. It gets all gooey and melty and what have you. I just really like the texture of orzo, and also I like the flavor. But it's kind of like, it's shaped like rice. It's shortcut pasta, so no slurping is involved.
No slurping is involved, but
I enjoy that. I enjoy that. It's a very very non-messy pasta.
Okay. All right. So here's another one. This came from his first name is Harry. And so it said, this is good. Which actor should play Trump in the inevitable Lifetime movie about his life?
Oh, jeez. Well, I'll tell you what. They may as well go for broke and do Daryl Hammond.
There you go.
From SNL, because his impersonation is too perfect. So
that
either
is
that or, yeah, let's say Daryl Hammond.
Okay. Yeah, I'm trying to think who else would be good at that. What the heck is his name? I have.
You know, Funny or Die did a Trump movie spoof.
Who did? Oh, okay.
Funny or Die, and Johnny Depp played Trump, and he didn't.
Oh,
do a
that's right.
Job.
That's right. I was thinking Jason Sudeikis could probably do it too.
Oh, that would be awesome.
I think that would be good. All right, he had a two-part question. All right, so Harry also said, excellent podcast, by the way. Very, very, thank you for that. Mm-hmm. He says, as a college professor, I'd like to recommend an episode as required listening for one of my fall courses regarding leadership, ethics, and culture. Which episode do you recommend?
Wow, so Harry wants to enlist us in corrupting the youth of America. Well, I have to say, having given it some thought, that I would recommend Mike Rowe that episode, because he has a very effective way of stating what he believes and simultaneously respecting the person that he is speaking to, without, you know, being patronizing or anything like that. So he can still communicate a political message without sounding political. And that is a skill. That's not something that you just do. So,
yep.
That's a form of leadership, I would think.
Yeah, that's a good one. I would also listen to Dana Perino's episode. I thought she did great, because, again, we've tried not to keep these super partisan. So basically she was just talking about messaging, communication within for people who are, you know, leaders of the country. So that would be a very good one as well. Very knowledgeable. So, all right, those are great. What else do you have?
Let me see here. We have a comment from our friend Andrea Ruth, who you mentioned earlier.
Right.
And I'm only going to read one part of it. It says, Neil is right on Dino.
Oh.
Okay, well, no, I'll read all of it, just to be fair.
Okay.
So, but I will note, number one, she makes three points. Number one is Neil is right on Dino. Number two is Jay is right about Die Hard, which is, okay, fine. Number three, and this was nice. I was right to listen, thinking that you two would do great as a one-on-one plus guest podcast. You guys have hit it out of the park every episode, and it's a truly great show. Congrats. Also, love the name and the logo. So I just wanted to say thank you very much to Andrea. That was very nice of you to say. And you must thank my wife for the logo because yes. She helped design it.
Yep.
But it is very good to hear that kind of stuff. You know, I myself thrive on compliments. I need them to live.
And, all right. Well, she also had some questions.
Yes, she did.
So she has like five, but we'll. What? Okay. Do you have a favorite unaffiliated podcast that you like to listen to?
As a nonpartisan, I assume,
or unaffiliated with the show, I assume maybe.
Yeah. I've actually really gotten into podcasts since I started doing them, and once I was doing it, then I was interested in them. But I listen to Myths and Legends podcast, and I listen to Lore. These are kind of like storytelling podcasts. You know, Lore is kind of a creepy one, and Myths and Legends just goes through myths and legends from various cultures. So those are fun.
Oh, okay. It's funny, though I host the podcast, I've done it for a while. I'm not a huge podcast consumer. I guess there are certain times I don't get into a point where I can kind of listen to them. But when I do, Adam Carolla's is really good. He will have a variety mm-hmm. of different guests, which is interesting, because they'll talk. Yeah, you know, he had like, you know, musicians and actors and politicians and everything like that. So it's plus he's kind of like the just kind of everyman kind of thing. So it's always kind of an interesting perspective as well. So if you like that, if you like Adam Carolla, you want to check that out. She also asked, what's your favorite pizza toppings and also thin or thick crust pizza toppings? There's only one acceptable pizza topping that I think of. And that, I shouldn't say only acceptable, but pepperoni, of course, is good. Pineapple, no, you do not do that to pizza. And of course, thin crust. New York style pizza. You pick it up and you do not eat it with a goddamn fork and knife. Do you hear this, politicians?
Okay, calm down.
Pick it up, fold it, stick it in your mouth and eat.
This is supposed to be a nice, relaxing podcast episode here. So, no, I agree that New York style is superior. In fact, the only actual pizza. And I default to pepperoni and cheese. I usually put some pepper flakes or some Parmesan on it if it's cheap pizza. But if it's really good quality pizza, then I don't bother.
Yeah.
And I do. I like it thin. And in fact, I like it crispy, thin crust.
Yes.
Sometimes the New York is a little bit of a mess. So I do enjoy having it nice and crispy.
Well, yeah. If you get like brick oven, you can get that. And here's a tip that you can do too. If you order pizza and you bring it home, it comes out of the box. Obviously, when it comes out of the box, it's the steam is all and heat has been kept in there, and so that's kind of make it a little less. Is you preheat your oven, just kind of stick it in there for about 5 minutes at like 450 degrees, and that will you'll take it out of there and you'll get that crunch of the crust. It's really good,
which is key. That's very key.
Yep.
So okay, let's do one more and then let's wrap it up. Okay, we got one from Katie. She asks. Leggings as pants? No, yes, or definitely 100% bleep, yes. This is a family podcast, Katie, just FYI.
Yeah. I don't know. Leggings as pants? I've seen them. And I guess if a woman has something that will come down and, like, cover around her butt area and mm-hmm, stuff and, mm-hmm. and kind of go down to like say mid thigh or something like that, then I guess uh-huh. it's okay.
I agree 100%. I think that they're fine as pants, but I think it looks a little bit unfinished if you're just wearing them out. So, you know, wear a longer top, ladies. Don't be so lazy.
Yes.
I just think of it as laziness.
Right.
Get dressed, for God's sake.
Well, we have. There is one more question I want to throw out there.
All right, go for it.
I thought it was pretty good. This is from Elizabeth. And her question is, name a liberal slash progressive you respect or admire and why? Now, I don't know if this has to be, does it have to be living or dead? I don't think that that matters. Does it?
Hmm.
Or does
it? I don't think it matters, but let's say living.
Ooh, okay.
We might need to think about this one until next week, Elizabeth.
You know who I'll say, and because I've seen him a lot and watching him, because one of the only shows that I still watch on Fox is The Five.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say Juan Williams. Because where I can disagree with Juan on like pretty much 99% of stuff,
mm-hmm.
he has bought into the idea of school choice and, you know, the fact that school choice is a good thing, and that it's not something that should be, you know, that should be limited. It should be expanded, as charter schools should be expanded. He's very big on education, and he thinks the Democrats are wrong in their constant no towards any kind of ideas that will change, you know, the mm-hmm. status quo. So if it's going to be one, I would say Juan Williams for that okay. reason alone.
That's a very good choice.
Plus I like the way he needles Eric Bolling on Donald Trump. It just doesn't care. He's laughing yeah. and having a good time doing it.
Well, let me scandalize our listening audience. I will say that I admire Barack Obama, and I'll tell you why. It's in a very limited context, but he is an excellent, very public, affectionate, and involved father. And that is an example that needs to be set for everyone, left and right, black and white. And he has modeled that very well. And that is a very important thing. So I admire him for that. Literally nothing else, but for that, yes.
All right.
So why don't we call it quits on this episode? You know.
Yeah. Very quickly though, Seth asked the question about Stranger Things. I haven't seen it. You like it though. It's on my list. I am going to watch it on Netflix.
Okay. Well, why don't we? Let's revisit that when we've both seen it, so we can chit chat about it.
Yeah, then we'll.
Because I want you to see it because it is very good. I'm very excited for you to see it.
Good. All right. So they say that. Look at that. Nice short episode. We had a little fun.
Yeah. Listen to this while you're taking the dog for a walk. And if you like this sort of thing, leave us a comment. Send us an email. Say, please don't ever do that again, or please do more of those, or what have you.
Yeah, go to the website, go to the contact form, send us an email. This time we will see it. Also, hey, we always encourage subscribe to this podcast. If you some people want to listen on the website, that's fine, but you can also go to iTunes. You can go to the website. There's the link for iTunes in any of the episodes. There's also a separate link where if you don't use iTunes and you use a different kind of podcast player, you can use that link to subscribe as well.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
And always leave us. If you can get to iTunes and you leave a rating or a comment. I'm telling you that right now, this podcast is sitting there in the new and noteworthy under news and politics. And it's largely
kind of cool.
It is really cool. But a lot of that comes from the fact that not only do we have subscribers, but we also have people that are actually going and leaving ratings and leaving commentary about it, because that always helps. That's part of their algorithm.
Mm-hmm.
So
we do appreciate it. So please do. And we look forward to hearing from you.
And we will see you next time here on the Fifth Estate.